So again, I want to thank God for this privilege of sharing His Word with you this morning. But I want us to pray, start by praying. And we're going to do some warfare prayer before we get into the Word of God. How many of you got Bibles this morning? Just lift up your Bibles, let me see. Lift up your Bibles, please. All right, some people are not looking at me. I need obedience. Amen? We got Bibles, right? How many of you are from California? You got Bibles? Yep. 1, 2, 3, 4. About 5 persons from California. Okay. So you remember that verse that says, since the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence. You remember that verse? And it says, only those who take it by force get in there. So we're going to do some violent prayer this morning against the state of California. You like to call the government to arrest me? I'm ready for it. So there is a new bill that will be passed soon, because apparently those who wrote the bill are majority. And that bill is going to ban the Bible in California. So if you didn't hear that, it just came out this morning. So anything religious, anything Christian, it will be prohibited. So no one will be allowed to sell the Bible. No one will be allowed to quote from the Bible. If that bill passes, so the Church of God, Americans, if you thought that you are not going through persecution, I want to announce to you, wake up. There is persecution. There is persecution in the church, and we will not let the gates of hell prevail against the church. Amen? Because God is building His church. So I want you to rise, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray that this bill will not pass. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. This bill will not pass. That the people of God, the church of God in this nation, the church of God in California, will have the freedom to read God's word, to carry it around, to share from it, and to express their faith without a human being obstructing them. I want you to open your mouth and pray. Pray as the Spirit leads you, that God will have His way in His church in California. Not just in California, in Virginia, in all the other states. That the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. We are not supposed to be on the defensive line, but we're supposed to be on the offensive, going after the gates of hell. And this is one of the things that breaks my heart, and God is calling on us to pray. God, we stand this morning as your church because you have called us to do this. To pray for the leadership, to pray for the governing authorities. And we pray this morning that those who are responsible in enacting laws in California, your fear will fall upon them. In the name of Jesus Christ. And God, that anything that will be contrary to your word, anything that will stop your children from proclaiming your word will not pass in the name of Jesus Christ. God, you say we shall decree and it shall come to pass. This morning we stand as your church. We pray with the church in California. We pray with the church in Virginia. We pray, God, together as a church in this nation, that your kingdom will rise. And the kingdom of the enemy will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God, thank you, because you promised that you are building your church. You're building your church in California. You're building your church in Virginia. You're building your church in Montana. You're building your church in this valley. And the gates of hell will not overcome it. Thank you, Father. Speak to us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week we were looking at God building his church. And I love when Jesus said, I will build my church. It's his church, and he promised that he is going to build it. And we were looking at, today we're looking at the part two of God building his church. He promised that he will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And last week we were looking more about on what foundation is he building his church. And last week we said the foundation on which the church of God is being built is upon the rock of the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. That Jesus Christ is the rock. Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus Christ is the truth. That upon this rock, upon the revelation that Jesus Christ is the great I am that I am, that Jesus Christ is the lion of the tribe of Judah, that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of men, that Jesus Christ is the bread of life, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that Jesus Christ is the true vine, and that he is the resurrection and the life. That upon this truth, upon this revelation, Jesus said, I will build my church. And when we put together all who Jesus is, we say that Jesus Christ is in the bodily form of God. And he's saying, I will build my church. And he told Peter, only God could reveal these things to you. And because God did this, I am going to build my church. So let's get back to that passage, Matthew chapter 16. We are going to read from verse 13 to 21. But we're going to stay in maybe a few verses today. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 21. When Jesus came to the region, Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they reply, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asks, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Verse 18 is where we're going to stay today. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Verse 19, it says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah, the Word of God. It is so exciting to know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is the true vine. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He is the light. He is the bread of life. He is the I am that I am. And when Peter made that confession, when that revelation came on Peter, he said that upon this rock, upon the rock of this revelation, I am going to build my church. And so the church of God right now in this place is standing on that rock, that revelation that Jesus Christ is the person of who God is. He came as God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. And this is the promise. I will build my church. He said, I will build my church. So it's not saying that he is going to build a church for you. He said, I will build my church. And so when I look at that, I will build my church, Jesus was painting a picture that something that will happen after resurrection. Now, stay close to the text. Look at the tense there. It says, I will build my church. So the church has not yet been established. until after his death and resurrection, and when he appeared to his people, he would now say, go and preach the good news. So the kingdom of God will come in the heart of men when Jesus Christ comes back to life, reveal himself to his people, and he will say, it is now time for you to start the work. He said, when I purchase a people for myself, that's what Jesus is saying. He said, it is not yet time. When I go through Calvary, when I go through Golgotha, when I'm crucified, when I'm buried and come back to life, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So Jesus Christ said something. He did not just promise that he was going to build his church. Jesus knew that someday there will be laws made in America that will stop people from carrying the Bibles around. Jesus knew that there will be persecution. Jesus knew that there will be things that will stop Christians from proclaiming the gospel. So he did not just say, I will build my church, and it ends there. He promised something else. It says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I was looking at my commentary, and it says that in ancient times, cities were fortified by strong gates. And the only way you will know the strength of a city is by looking at how big and how strong and solid the gates of that city is. Because in war, during war, the first thing that people attack or the enemy will attack will be the gates of a city. When they break through that gate and get into the city, they are going to kill people. And so Jesus Christ was using a figurative language here, and he was using the gate to show the strength, the power of that comes out from the pit of hell. He was showing and trying to paint a picture of how fortified the enemy, the hell, the power from hell will look like. And he is saying that this gate, the forces from hell, the strategies from hell, principalities, will not overcome my church. No force of darkness will overcome my church. And again, we said last week this was the first time in the New Testament that we find the word church. And the word church, ecclesia, means a gathering, an assembly of people. So if you think a church is when you sit in front of your TV and listen to a great motivated speaker or a great sermon and pray and call it a church, it is not a church. What Jesus had in mind was an assembly of redeemed people, bought people, people who have been set free by his blood. He was talking about those kind of people. He said, when they come together, when they assemble, the gates of hell will not overcome them. Amen. So Jesus wasn't talking about the 45 four corners of this building. He was talking about you and me. And I am privileged to be part of the redeemed church of God, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is why he used a future tense. By the way, look at the way he puts it. It says, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail. Now, my Greek Bible says that this is a future indicative. It's indicating something. It's a future tense. It's indicating something. But at the same time, it's an active verb. It's a verb that is active because Jesus Christ, he is moving to the cross intentionally. Nobody pushed him to the cross. The Bible says it was the will and the foreknowledge of his Father that he should go to the cross and purchase a people for himself. He should go to the cross and shed his own blood to redeem you and me because we were once alive. Hello? We were once what? Dead and lost. People without a name, without any future, without any hope. And Jesus looked at us and he said, I am going to the cross. Nobody. I'm laying down my life. Nobody is forcing me to do this. He is going to the cross to purchase. That's why he promised the church future, active, that he is going to do this. And when he is done doing that, he promised that the gates of hell will not overcome. And Jesus Christ knew that forces of darkness exist. He knew that principalities exist. He knew that the enemy will come after us. He knew that the enemy will come to try to destroy his church. And Jesus Christ did not say that you will not fight or that you will not have persecution. Jesus Christ prepared our minds to know that the gates of hell, the forces of hell, the powers of the enemy will come against his church. Amen. It is a good thing to know that the enemy is coming after you so that you shouldn't be taken unaware. When you know that the enemy is coming after you, what do? You just sit and wait. When he comes and knocks at your door, you get up and carry your gun and say, "Enemy, get away." Is that what we do? No. Jesus prepared our minds to make us know that the enemy will come at us every second. You know what Paul says? Take every thought captive. As I'm preaching, a lot of you are thinking something else. The enemy is saying something else, taking it captive. And Jesus knew that these things will happen. And he said, "Get ready." And so we are not supposed to sit and wait for the enemy to come and attack us, and then we are struggling to defend. What are we supposed to be doing? We are supposed to be going after the enemy and pulling down their strongholds, destroying their camps, because we are going with the power and authority invested on us by the Lord Jesus Christ. So he made them understand that this is what is going to happen. The enemy will come against you. The enemy will come against this church. The enemy will fight the pastors. And by the way, sometimes we find pastors who fall terribly. Do you know why? Because the enemy is fighting. Do you think that I fight spiritual battles? Do you think that I fight the flesh in me? I do every day. Do you think that this Pastor Ted fights the flesh in him? He does. The enemy comes after us every day. But the good news is that Jesus says, when I purchase you, when I redeem you, a royal priesthood, sons and daughters of the living God, he says, no gates of hell shall prevail against you. The gates of hell will come against you. They will try to fight. They will change strategies. They will change all kinds. They will use all kinds of mechanisms. But the promise stands that they will not overcome you if you are walking in the Lord. If you are standing strong in the Lord, the gates of hell will not overcome you. And so Jesus is talking about building his church. And when I look at the word build, I'm picturing a building. I know James is doing construction right now. He's building. And each time he posts that picture on Facebook, I love it because it's going up so fast. And so Jesus is saying that I am building my church. And when you build a church, what do you put there? I mean, when you do a construction, when you build, put on a building, you need to have a door. And that door got what? A lock. And the lock got what? A key. And so if somebody comes in and it's not welcome, it's not the right person to get into your house, it's an intruder. Until you open the door for that person to come in, they will not come in. If they break in, they are intruders. And so I'm looking at Jesus saying, I am building my church. And when Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against it, there was a full stop. That was a promise. And then he did something else. He said, now I am giving you the keys. Hello? Look at your text. Verse 18 and 19 again. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom. I will give you. The church is completed. When Jesus shed his blood, when Jesus said, God, the mission is accomplished, when Jesus bought people, when Jesus went to the pit and removed you and brought you back to life because we were dead, he presented you before the Father. And he says, these are the keys. I am giving you the keys. Let's get to Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. Colossians chapter 2, 13 to 15 says, When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. He said, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And 15 says, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The good news is that the enemy is going to come after us. Another good news is that Jesus Christ has defeated the enemy. And he has given you, he has given us the power, the authority to set captives free. And so the church of God is standing today so strong because Jesus Christ has defeated, he has made a public spectacle of the enemy. He has triumphed over them by the cross. He has put them under his feet. And that is why I have the confidence, I have the assurance that the church of God will never bow to the gates of hell. No matter how tense the attacks are, no matter how fierce the battle is, no matter how many demons come against the church of God, they have been defeated, and the church of God will never bow. Because I did not make that promise, but God made that promise. Sometimes I made a lot of promises and I fail or I forget to fulfill them. But Jesus made a promise that his redeemed people, those he bought with his blood, the assembly of his people, will never succumb, will never bow to the gates of hell. He is fighting, and he is still fighting. And he says that he has defeated them. And I know this is true because on the cross, Jesus, when he defeated the enemy, the Bible says that at the mention of his name, every knee must bow. I know this is true because when Jesus rose from dead, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, not some authority. I know this is true because he says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21 to 23. I want to read that because I love that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21 to 23. This is what Jesus has done for you. He has brought you back to life. And this is who Jesus is. He said, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God has placed all things under his feet, including the demons that are fighting you and fighting his church. God has placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything, even for the church. So if you are a member of the church, this promise should make you leap with joy that God is standing, he's fighting, and he has put everything under the feet of Jesus Christ for the church. Verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Now there is a big problem because when Jesus came and said he was going to build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, one of the key things he said was that he was going to give us the keys. I have a bunch of keys with me here. And Wendy gave me this bunch of keys, but I came prepared. I came with my own bunch of keys. It said, I will give you the keys to the kingdom. How many of you got the keys to the kingdom? We got the keys. But this is what is happening. There are four categories of people. One is that there are a lot of people who believe that they got the keys to the kingdom. And literally, he wasn't talking about the key, physical key. He was talking about the revelation of who he is, the truth about the gospel, the truth about who God is, the power and the authority invested on us. That is the key. And there are four categories of persons. There are a lot of people who have the keys, and they put them in their pockets. And we walk around and we see people that are lost, people that desperately need that door to be opened. And we say, I got no time. I'm going shopping. I'm late for my appointment. And we bypass them. We have the keys in our pockets. And there's a second category of people, they have the keys, and when they see people that God is saying, their hearts are ready to be open. What do we say? We say, God, I'm not really sure. I'm so afraid. I'm so shy to use this key. I'm not sure what will happen if I use this key. And we bypass them. And still, it's another category of person that they're carrying this key around. They are so excited that they got the keys. But what is happening? When God is pointing at people who needs the gospel, who needs to be delivered, who needs to be set free, captives that need to be set free, we look at the keys and say, I know I have the keys, but my life is not straight. And this is the third category that breaks my heart. That we think we have the key, but we don't believe that we have the power and authority to unlock doors, to unlock the hearts of people to come to the kingdom. Because we live a sinful life, the enemy is saying you are not qualified to carry that key. You're not qualified to use that key. And yet there is another category of people, they carry the key, they know what the key is meant for, and they are using the key. I want you to be the fourth category. That you carry the key, you know what this key is meant for, and you are going to use it to open the to set the captives free. You are going to use it to set drugs addicts free. You are going to use it to set prostitutes free. You are going to use it to set people's minds that have been darkened by the God of this age. That you believe that you can do this. But the big problem is, if you do not believe that you are a member of this assembly, the ecclesia, the church that God made this promise to, then I don't believe that you carry this key. I don't believe that you carry the key God is talking about. You have to be a member. You have to fall. You have to say, I am a member of this assembly, God's chosen people. And that I am ready to go out. I am glad that Pastor Ted will continue doing, listening to those who are sharing on Wednesdays, and we're praying for them. And I want to challenge you this morning that you have power, you have authority to unlock doors that have been closed for ages. Do you belong? That's my question for you this morning. Do you belong to a call out one? Do you belong to an assembly? Do you belong to the church of God? Because this promise was made to a church. If you do not belong to the church of God, then you do not have this authority. And you try to go out there and do it, demons will beat you so badly. Because we go with the authority of Jesus Christ. He has invested this authority on us. I want to pray this morning. So we're going to spend time praying. I wanted to be brief this morning. We're going to spend time praying. And I want you to just go to God right now. I'm not inviting the worship team yet, but I just want all of us to go to God. If there is repentance to take place, let it happen even today. The church of God is supposed to be fighting this battle. We're involved in a battle, in a warfare, and the enemy is coming against us. On what foundation are you standing on to fight the enemy? If you do not belong, I want to throw this invitation to you. You can come to Him today. You can come to Jesus today and say, make me part of the redeemed group, the blood purchased people of yours. Do you belong? If you believe that you have the keys, but you're not using the keys, I will invite you to come forward and just give it all to God. And say, God, I want to use this key. I've been having them in my pockets for so long. He sees your heart right now. And I don't want you to be deceived again by the enemy. If you're part of the church, this promise is for you, that the gates of hell will not overcome you. If you've been defeated, you know that the enemy has been beating you down. I want somebody courageously to just say, this is me. The enemy has been beating me down. And I want that to stop. And if it is you, I will invite you. I'm serious with this one. I will invite you to leave your seat and come forward, and somebody will pray with you. That you have submitted to the enemy, and you even had a thought of giving up. If it is you, I will invite you just to leave your seat and come forward, and we pray for you. And even right now, he's fighting. The enemy's fighting in your mind. He's saying, you don't need to do this. That is part of the battle. We want to take authority and tear down the kingdom of darkness that is fighting against you. And if you believe that his power can do this in your life, that you can defeat the lies of the enemy, I want you to challenge him. I say, I need somebody to pray with me. Now, if you see somebody up here that is somebody you want to pray for, I just want to invite you, join them and pray for them. Pray for strength. We've doubted this promise so many times. I am guilty about it. I've doubted it so many times. The enemy has hit me so many times, so hard. And I'm seeing a lot of people here. I know the enemy is hitting right now. And you are sitting there and giving glory to the enemy. God is calling on us to violently take it. One of the things is by faith. I step in by faith. When Jesus went to the cross, it was to redeem you, and he purchased you with his blood. And he has promised that as long as you walk and stand firm in him, the gates of hell will not prevail. They will fight, but they will submit. I will invite the worship team to come up. As they're coming up, they're going to do a song, Tremble, and we are going to pray. Those who are up here, I just want to encourage you to stay here and pray with God. Pray. that darkness will tremble. The forces of darkness that are coming against you, coming against your marriage, coming against your finances, coming against your children. Oh boy, I thought that this would be something that will move the entire church to come against the enemy. And I see people struggling in this church. I see people fighting battles every day. But we are saying, I'm okay with this. We are saying, we are giving him, the enemy, the glory, the reasons. As we do this song, I'm going to invite Pastor Ted to come and close this. As we do this song and pray for those who are up here.